Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
You got problems that you ought to be concerned with.
Hoo-ah!
You don't know how you're supposed to earn it, or what to do with it, or how to keep it. You're a freak with a dark, shameful secret.
But you're not the only one. Get your hidden financial fears with a blast of sun. Now your healing has begun. It's Bad with Money with
Gabe S.
Dunn.
Hello and welcome to Bad with Money, a show about finances and feelings where we don't talk down to you. I'm your host, Gabe S. Dunn. And with me today, we have Rodney Griffin. Do you want to tell my audience who you are and what you do?
Yes, how you all doing? My name is Rodney Griffin. I'm a financial advisor with Northwestern Mutual. And what we do is help individuals and business owners with planning for their future.
So I wanted to talk to you about taxes because that's coming up. And also it's something that I'm deeply confused about all the time. So when someone is doing their taxes or doing my taxes, what does that mean?
So yes, when you have a tax preparer, essentially they're going to take all of your tax documents and prepare them to file to the IRS. And so some things that you want to make sure that you're doing to prepare for your taxes, you know, at the start of each calendar year, you'll begin to receive one or more tax forms, either digitally or by the mail. And the most common ones that you'll look for is a W-2, which are those that are for individuals that have an employer that they work for. A 1099, most cases are those that are self-employed, and 1098. While these are the main forms that you can expect, you may also receive additional documents from the IRS related to taxes, expenses, and payments. Even if you're not sure what it is, keep everything and give it to your tax preparer.
So I think people sometimes get confused, like, about what you provide to someone versus what you receive back. Like, a W-9 is what you give in order to get the 1099, right?
Yes.
So what sort of things are you, like, supposed to provide, or will these places come to you, or how do you make sure you have everything?
Yeah, so essentially what you want to start off is just everything that you'll get from your employers or even your bank, you want to just hold it. And when you start talking to a tax preparer, they will ask you for additional information to provide. And that's going to help you actually identify what areas that you need to bring in addition to. So if you're self-employed, they might ask you about your profit and loss statement. And a profit and loss statement is the money that you've earned during that time period and the money that you've lost or spent during that time period. And what that's going to do is help give you an assessment of how much earnings you've had over the course of that year.
I do personal taxes and then I do business taxes. And so if someone has, like, their personal taxes and then they also have an LLC or a DBA, like, which is a doing business as? What's the difference there?
Yeah, so they're taxed differently, right? And I think one of the things you want to definitely talk to when you are working with a tax preparer is the best way of leveraging not only your personal taxes, but your business taxes. And they should be separate in both instances, right? Your personal taxes are usually tied to your Social Security number, whereas your business taxes are usually tied to an EIN number that you are created by the IRS. And what it does, it gives you more leverage over time as you are a business owner to have different deductions within your tax filings. Whereas from a personal standpoint, you usually have, it's pretty cut and dry as to what you're bringing in as income versus what you're deducting from your taxes.
What are the deductions that are most common for personal taxes?
Yeah, so essentially you can claim dependents if you have a kid. So that could be a common deduction that you could have filing with the IRS. It also depends on how you go about filing, right? Whether you file single, married filing jointly, married filing separately, qualifying widow, widower, and a dependent of a child or head of household. Other things that you could do from a tax deduction standpoint is maximizing your retirement contributions. So most employers provide a 401k, and if you're contributing to your 401k, you can leverage that to lower your tax liability for that year. Other things that you could do is also charitable givings. You know, a lot of times people may tithe in the church, or they also may give donations in terms of items to Goodwill or other sources that they could also get a receipt to show that they had some type of charitable giving from that perspective as well.
What about for businesses for tax deductions?
So that varies a lot. And I think a tax preparer has more information on that. But for example, some of the things that I do from a tax standpoint as a business owner, I have employees. So the benefits that I offer to my employees, I can also deduct from my taxes. When I go on meals with my team, that meal itself is something that I could deduct from my taxes. Also travel expenses for work related things. So I'm going on a conference because that conference is something that I have to do to help benefit my job. That travel for that conference is something that I could also deduct for work-related expenses. So there's a lot of different things that you could leverage as a business owner to use as a tax deduction, which is primarily the main reason why you want to keep as much information that you have in terms of your finances that go in and out, because that operation will help your tax preparer determine what is deductible versus what isn't.
Yeah, for me, I have my personal and then business. And I use two different bank accounts, two different cards. Like, that helps me keep, because like in the olden days, I think sometimes you would, like, you know, keep your receipts and stuff. And I still have friends who like keep all their receipts in a folder when they travel and stuff for comedy or for work. And so, but now it's been a bit easier because I just use different bank accounts and different cards. And that way it's able to be taxed completely separately, and we don't have to like parse through what was a business account and what was a personal spending.
And I would say that's highly recommended. That just helps eliminate anything. So all you have to do is just print out the statements month by month, and you can also hand that to your tax preparer, and then they could either highlight or circle what things are deductible or not.
For an LLC or for like a business, is it like that counts as income? It's like for me, I put the income that I make goes into the business, and then I pay myself out of the business, and taxes are paid through that, like whenever I'm paid. But if the money that goes into the LLC, how is that taxed, or just when it comes out to be income for me?
So I think for that purpose, I would refer to more of a tax preparer to tell you the ins and outs of that. I could tell you at least some of my personal experience from it is that it also talks towards the revenue that the business is earning. And so there is going to be some tax liability I have to pay on the business itself based off of the revenues that's being earned. But there are pass-throughs, right? And so with me being able to pay myself a salary, and depending on how the business is structured, I'm able to also give myself withdrawals from the business itself as well that may also pass through from a tax perspective as well. But I would say a good tax preparer or a CPA would be able to give you the more ins and outs on how the taxes work on that.
When you say tax preparer, like what sorts of tax preparers are there? Who are you meaning?
Yeah, so there are individuals that actually work for a a tax company. And then there are tax preparers that may have a CPA, where they have a little bit more knowledge on the ins and outs of what can be legislated and what can't be. So I would recommend more of a CPA, just because there might be a lot more nuances in terms of things that you can understand and get more information on, versus going just to a tax preparer where you may see in commercials or other avenues.
Yeah, I used to go to one and just sort of dump my receipts and statements on their desk, like at the H&R Block. I would just go and do that like once a year and be like, I don't know what any of this is. Here you go. And I think that was fine to do at a certain point in my life. I don't know if now I could pull that off.
Yeah, as you get more sophisticated, and I imagine most people want to, there are more benefits that you could leverage. So it's better to have someone that, you know, isn't just necessarily clicking the boxes, but really dissecting your taxes. And in most cases, you know, you should come into a conversation with a tax preparer being asked some personal questions. And I think those personal questions will help highlight areas of growth, but also areas where they could find some savings in terms of some of the things that you are currently doing, whether it be personal or business related, to help benefit you from a tax preparing standpoint.
Hair thinning is complicated. The problem is it's actually much bigger than your hair alone. Like your skin, hair is a reflection of your health, and internal factors can impact the way your hair looks, feels, and grows. Nutrafol's whole body approach multi-targets underlying root causes like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrient gaps for visibly thicker, stronger hair. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. Physician formulated with drug-free ingredients, Nutrafol supports healthy hair growth from within by targeting key root causes of thinning, stress, hormones, environment, nutrition, lifestyle, and metabolism through whole body health. Thinning hair is different for men and women, so a one-size-fits-all approach to hair growth doesn't cut it. Nutrafol has multiple formulas that are tailored to give your hair what it needs to grow based on your biology, life stage, such as postpartum or menopause, and lifestyle factors, such as plant-based lifestyles. While many supplements rely solely on ingredient studies, Nutrafol clinically tests final formulations to ensure their efficiency. In clinical trials, 72% of men saw more scalp coverage after taking Nutrafol Men's Hair Growth Supplement for 6 months, and 86% of women saw improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol Women's Hair Growth Supplement for 6 months. Take their hair wellness quiz at Nutrafol.com for a personalized hair health plan based on your specific root causes. With Nutrafol, building a hair growth routine is simple. Purchase online, no prescription or doctor's visits required. Free shipping and automated deliveries ensure you'll never miss a day. See results in 3 to 6 months. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter promo code BADMONEY. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and stylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code BADMONEY. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code BADMONEY. Quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. I don't know if you know, but I'm a business myself, and I have to run everything on my own. And it is very difficult, especially to deliver you a product such as this podcast. Luckily, I have Melissa to help me, and we want to keep all the money that we make. So how do we do that? NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You can cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math, see how you'll profit from NetSuite. Everything is so expensive. How do I boost performance? How do I pay everyone? How do I cut costs? Here you go. You want inventory? You want financial systems in the cloud? You got it, baby. Now through April 15th, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/badwithmoney. 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 We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employees agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring in one place so easy. Like, think about how much you have to do in order to hire someone and how much you have to gather, plus scheduling, plus messaging. Like, if I was looking to hire someone, I would feel that it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish that I could use Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/badwithmoney. Just go to Indeed.com/badwithmoney right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/badwithmoney. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. I have been using Mint to manage my finances, but bad news. Mint has shut down, but here's the good news. There's a better alternative, Monarch Money. That's right. Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarch.com/badmoney. It is very stressful, confusing, and time-consuming to manage my finances. I try all the apps, as you guys know, and I've just been like flighty with them. They've never stuck. But now I have Monarch, and it is easy to use. It has powerful features like collaboration tools, intuitive design, personalization, product improvements. It's just been really helpful to see everything laid out and especially be able to collaborate if I want to. Did you know that money issues are a leading cause of divorce? Yeah, we've talked about that a lot here. Monarch, the top-rated personal finance app, also has built-in collaboration features so you can invite your partner at no extra cost. Together, you can see all your finances, collaborate on your budget, and get insights on your cash flow and recurring transactions. It's the easiest way to manage your household finances. Are you saving for a down payment, a wedding, a dream vacation? Monarch makes it so easy to help you reach your financial goals. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Of course, I've been frustrated in the past with personal finance apps that are cluttered with ads. So was Monarch. So they built a new kind of personal finance app that's intuitive, powerful, ad-free, and constantly improving based on customer feedback. Experience a personal finance app that prioritizes the user experience above all else. We never sell your data to third parties or show you ads. After trying out Monarch myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, listeners of this show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/badmoney. That's monarchmoney.com/badmoney for your extended 30-day free trial. What do you mean by like personal questions?
I knew you were going to ask. Just for example, if you haven't met with a tax preparer before, my wife and I have met a new tax preparer and they just had to kind of get to know you, understand the structure of how your income is coming in and how you're going about leveraging it. So, you know, we have more than one property that we own. And so to understand the ins and outs of that, like what is considered primary, what's considered an investment, are there additional expenses associated with that? You know, you have a property management company, or are you managing yourself? So those are some of the, you know, impactful questions that individuals will ask you because it helps, you know, essentially understand the day and the days in and out of your finances, but also how to go about preparing your taxes, because there might be other things that you may not mention that if you would have mentioned in that conversation, they could find more avenues of, you know, either saving you money or preparing your taxes a little bit better.
Are there any red flags that you can look out for throughout the year to be like, wait a minute, I might get a huge tax bill for this and I'm just not thinking about it?
So I think one of the things that I've seen as a most common theme is when individuals are looking to buy a house and they want to pull money out of their retirement account. I've seen that have pros and cons to it, but the cons that I've seen happen from that is essentially they pull the money out and they're not understanding what the tax consequences could come from that. And once they pull the money out, there is a tax liability that tax year that they're going to have to pay on. And depending on their age, you know, there might be a penalty associated with that. And so when they go into the year filing their taxes, that's new income that they showed in terms of their earnings that they're not having to pay taxes for. And that could hit a pretty big dent into their pockets going into that tax year. So they could go out owing a lot more than what they expected to owe.
I think also that's a great point. I think also sometimes with freelancers, a big mistake is not realizing that you should take taxes out of every paycheck, because then it comes to tax time and all of a sudden you have to pay a lot. Like, I remember not realizing that until it was much later. So I think if you're getting money throughout the year in these different ways, like taking the taxes out when you pay yourself, and also making sure that you are saving some of the money that you get for taxes. I've got to imagine people don't do that enough.
Yes, they don't do that enough. But also, as a business owner or even a freelancer, filing taxes quarterly will also help as well. And it's actually what you're supposed to do. So
basically, taxes are just guessing what the government wants from you, which is so inefficient. So why would someone get a refund?
Someone would get a refund a couple ways. One, they may have set aside too much money in the year in terms of what they was filing for taxes, and therefore the government is going to reimburse them or refund the money that they had set aside. So a lot of times if someone is a W-2 employee and they're filing zero, the government or with their employer, most cases, they are withholding the most amount of money that they could file. And so 9 times out of 10, they are likely to get a refund going into that year, that tax season. Other ways individual could get a refund is having more deductions to show in terms of their income. And then when they go into filing, they're getting reimbursed for a lot of deductions that they had up front.
So what do people, like, what do you suggest, or what do people do with their refunds? I mean, you can do whatever you want, but the best case scenario is probably not what you're thinking to do.
Right. I've seen a lot of different things happen with individuals and their refunds. One, I think, you know, having a financial advisor or planner to talk through what are some of the things that you want to do with it is first and foremost. I'm always a big proponent of saving and then executing versus just executing, because you never know what's going to happen, you know, a month or two later. So what I've seen happen in most cases is that some would allocate half towards saving and then maybe a quarter towards something that they really want to do. And if the individual has debt, they may put the 25% towards debt. What I wouldn't recommend is putting all of it towards debt initially, unless it totally wipes out the debt and you have some savings available on the back end. Reason being is because society and what we've seen happen a lot of times is that we eliminate debt, but then something always happens a month or 2 months later, and we're putting ourselves back into debt. And so we want to always have a nest egg or emergency fund available just for those uh-oh moments, and being able to still have the ability to save and to continue to grow your money that you did earn over the course of time.
If you get a raise, let's say, throughout the year, how do you find out if your taxes will change?
You could always talk to your advisor that you're working with to see what that will do in terms of your overall household income. You could always talk to your tax preparer to see what are the best options, or your advisor's the best options to actually lower the income that you are earning so it doesn't have that much of an effect. So, for example, if you're getting a 10% range, it may take you into another tax bracket. If you're not maximizing other vehicles, i.e. your 401k or other vehicles that give you a tax deduction, then you could leverage that additional income that you're having to add to more of an investment portfolio for yourself to continue to grow your money. And it still will lower your taxable liability at that time.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about this before. I had a friend that was like worried about getting a raise because it bumped them into the next tax bracket by only a little bit. And that would have changed their taxes like immensely. We don't think about tax brackets enough. And I do you have like a definition for a tax bracket that would like be succinct for someone who's never heard of it before?
So a definition of a tax bracket. So I want to give hypotheticals. I don't want to give like actual numbers. Someone making income between 75 and less may fall into a tax bracket of a 14% or so tax, where they will be paying taxes at around a 14% income level. Someone making, you know, 7501 and 125 may fall into a 22% tax bracket. Mm-hmm. Someone making between 125 and 200 may fall into 24, and then so forth and so on up to like 34%. And so as your income continues to go up, your taxes tend to go up as well in terms of what you're going to have to pay out. And so there are ways to offset what your income is versus what you're reporting as income for taxes.
Right. Yeah. So that you don't. So just, you know, it differs state to state. And also, like, don't think, just consider that when you get a raise. That's like another thing I feel like people wouldn't necessarily immediately consider, because no one talks about taxes enough, to be honest. I truly grew up, went into the world, got a job, and was like, wait, no one ever said anything to me about taxes.
So what was your experiences as you started off?
Had no clue. Like got a job, and then I didn't understand that you had to check the box for them to take taxes out. So I was just like, well, yeah, of course I want the most money, obviously. And then like later, people were like, oh, you have to pay taxes. And I was like, wait, what? And then they were like, yeah, because the rest of us like had it getting taken out, you know, for every paycheck. And I was like, fuck. And you see that a lot. I don't think they teach you anything. Like no one in my school was like, oh, let's teach, you know, college or you know, high school kids about taxes.
No, that makes sense. That definitely makes sense. I think in general, between taxes and finances, there's a learning curve that needs to be taught.
I mean, it's also just like they don't even teach you what they go towards. They don't teach you that like it matters what you, if you vote, like it doesn't, like you start to be like, wait, why is all this money getting taken out? And then you start to get resentful at first until you like actually go out and look into like, okay, like this is doing this and this is doing that. But people are so up in arms, and you know, and then it makes you actually care about what's going on, because you're like, wait, my taxes are paying for this. Hold on. But like, they don't want you to know that, I think, because they don't want you to like start to have opinions or want to get political or whatever.
Yeah. Yes, I understand.
Okay. Related. What happens if someone just does not do their taxes?
All right. So a couple things happen. And when you say does not do them, meaning doesn't file?
Doesn't file.
One of the things you can do is you can file late or file for an extension. It's better to file and pay now versus later, especially if you may owe. Because if you may owe, you will have to pay an additional 5% penalty on the month that you file late. It's important to note that a month doesn't mean 30 days to the IRS. Filing your return even one day late means you'll still be hit with a full 5% penalty. On top of that, you'll also pay interest, which will only add to your fees. And if you file for more than 60 days late, that becomes a bit more complex and costly. Another reason to submit your return as soon as you can. And if you can't pay the full amount you owe when you file, paying what you can and looking into payment plans with the IRS is better than not paying anything.
Yeah, I remember one time I called them. This was so long ago. And they said to me on the phone, well, what can you pay at a time? And I was like, I don't know, $50. And they were like, okay. Like, they're not going to expect you to pay, like, you know, they're not, you can, I mean, I don't know if that's the case always, but they let me say what I thought I could afford. And then they said, okay to that. I think they just care that you're even like doing it a little. They don't really care what the number is.
Absolutely.
But what if you're just like, no, I shall not do my taxes?
At some point, you will get a phone call or a letter from the IRS saying that you haven't filed. And I can't say exactly what will happen, but it's not something positive.
I mean, yeah, they'll track you down, I guess, eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Hey guys, Gabe Dunn here. I just wanted to let you guys know that I have a Patreon at patreon.com/GabeSDunn. And on that Patreon, I'm going to start doing live hangs with everyone who is a patron. So if you want to join the Patreon, you can get all these episodes ad-free, videos of our mailbag episodes, extra writing from me, blogs, fiction, other stuff, things that I'm thinking about with regards to money and personal stories, and also now live hangs with me on Zoom once a month. So join the Patreon. And if you're not a member of the Discord, hop on over to the Discord. That's free. The link will be in the description. It's so fun. So many of you guys talk over there. It's like truly popping off. And if you're on the Discord, I would love to see you in the live hang so I get to put a face to a name. So yeah, please join patreon.com/GabeSDunn and come hang out with me. Oh my gosh. Budgeting is wild. I am trying to make progress every day. I am, as you guys know, like deeply into rebuilding my finances. It is very hard to keep motivated, but I am constantly looking at the numbers, constantly like looking at ways to cut stuff. And I'm looking for new ways to save. And when I do, I can find my financial goals easier and still have the occasional treat. With a Chime checking account, you get features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 with SpotMe, or get paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit. Learn more at chime.com/badmoney. I have constantly had to deal with overdraft fees my entire life. When I first learned what they were upon getting my first bank account, it was a very rude awakening. I also learned about something when I was writing my book, where a lot of banks take out money from your account in the order that makes you have overdraft fees, which is so unfair. But Chime allows you an overdraft of up to $200 with no fees. Join millions of Chime members who are working on financial progress. Chime helps you make progress with fee-free overdraft up to $200. Your next deposit is applied to your balance. Get spotted on debit card purchases and cash withdrawals. No monthly fees or maintenance fees. Over 60,000 fee-free ATMs. To date, Chime has spotted members over $20 billion. Friends give friends a boost. Eligible members get complimentary boosts to increase a friend's SpotMe limit. When you give a boost, they can boost you back to raise your limit. Set up direct deposit into your Chime account. After a qualifying direct deposit of $200 or more, Chime will notify you to enroll in SpotMe. With an activated debit card, Chime will spot you up to your limit when you exceed your balance. Your next direct deposit is applied to your negative balance. Chime never charges fees or interest for using SpotMe. Take more control of your finances and say goodbye to monthly fees. Open your account in minutes at chime.com/badmoney. That's chime.com/badmoney. Chime feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in SpotMe and are subject to monthly limits. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Well, also, like, even if you think, oh, I don't make enough money to file, so it doesn't matter.
No, you still need to file, because one, it helps core what you have made over the course of time. But in the same instances, you'll be in good standings with the government as well.
What if you don't have a job? What if you're just like a person who lives at your parents' house and they pay for everything and you don't have any income? I'm just trying to think of a person who will not have to do anything.
If you don't have any income, then there'll be nothing to file. But if you earn anything, you definitely want to make sure that you've paid the appropriate taxes that's necessary on the income that you've earned.
What happens if you get audited? I feel like it's just like random selection.
Mm-hmm. So if you get audited, they'll actually go back, I believe, as far as 5 years to see what was reported or what wasn't reported. Mm-hmm. And then they'll also ask for those documents that I mentioned earlier in our conversation to show what you actually filed for your taxes. And so if there's things that you reported that you don't have any documentation for, that could count against you in terms of like your taxes that you filed for that year. So you don't necessarily want to over exert some of the the deductions that you may have if there's a chance of you being audited, because that could have a negative effect on you.
Well, how do they choose who they're auditing? Like for personal or for business?
I don't really know exactly how they choose. I think it may be random, but also there could be, at least from my perspective that I've seen, there could be inconsistencies into some of your income that you've had over the course of years. And so in one instance where I was earning a lot of money, then, you know, the next 2 years I show myself, you know, barely earning any money just because as a business owner, I could lower my tax liability. There could be a red flag to say, hey, you know, what happened within the last 3 years to show that this person isn't earning as much as they were earning before. And so they just may want to go under the hood and see what's going on.
God, I feel like knock on wood, but I feel like if I got audited, I would be like, you know what? Just take everything. Just, I don't know. I can't do this.
I think if you're doing everything properly and documenting everything, like you mentioned before, having two separate bank accounts, showing your inflows and your outflows, you'll be perfectly fine. Because all it is just getting the same documents that you had before and presenting them to your tax preparer. A lot of times your tax preparer should be signing off on the documents that you're presenting to them, because they're the one that's filing the taxes on your behalf. So
right. So when you were talking about putting money like into investments or other accounts, how do the investments affect your taxes? I know like there's things like you can put stuff in a health savings account or a flexible savings account. You can put stuff, there's like tax advantaged accounts that you can put your money into instead of just having it in checking and savings, that makes the tax situation very different.
Most individuals, if they're working with an employer, they have like some type of retirement plan, whether it be a 403B, a TSP, a 401K, a 457, et cetera. Those individuals that are self-employed can also do what they call a self-employed pension or set up an IRA for themselves. Those are accounts where you can actually lower your tax liability in terms of your income for that year. So, for example, if you're making $100,000 and you put in $10,000 in one of those vehicles, your tax liability for that year is $90,000 versus $100,000. And so you're being able to lower what your income is showing for that year, and that investment is still able to perform and grow based off of the market or how you're being invested at the time. Now, on the back side of that is when you are ready to take that money out and use it for day-to-day life or whatever that may be, you will have to pay taxes on it then. And so at some point you will have to pay taxes. It's just one of those things. Do you rather pay your taxes now or do you rather pay your taxes later? And a lot of times, one of the things that I would advise is, depending on what your trajectory is in terms of income and where you see yourself going over the next 10 to 15 years, if you see where your income is today going to be substantially higher, you may want to look at offering ways of paying your taxes up front, maybe a Roth IRA or something like that. And the reason being is because as your income continues to grow, there might be ways that you can't leverage some of those things as tax advantages vehicles, where you don't pay taxes on the back end with that, whereas the other ones, like a traditional account, you will be paying taxes on. And as we've seen historically, that taxes have gone higher, you know, over the course of years versus down.
Right. So the idea would be to pay it now before, you know, when you're 59 and a half, and which is the one of the dates you can take the money out, though the taxes might be higher, but you also might be in a higher tax bracket. Like you might have more money.
Exactly.
Oh my exactly. God. Why is this just like a game we're playing against the IRS? Like, I don't understand. Like, it's like guessing the future. And then the IRS is like, we know the number, but do you? And like, what the hell?
I mean, I think you mentioned some of the things that play a role in terms of being just aware. So understanding where your taxes are going, what are some of the things that you're voting for, to understand how that, you know, affects you as an individual, because that's, you know, essentially how other things get funded too. So, but I think at the end of the day, if you have a strong advisor or a tax preparer that's working with you, these conversations could be easily taken care of throughout the year or prior to, you know, actually filing. So this doesn't become as big of a load on your shoulders, you know, when it comes down to the deadline in April.
Yeah. What about like if you're a married couple versus single? Like you mentioned widowed also, like what is the difference between all of those?
Yeah. And so I think with those, so being single, of course, you're not filing with another person, right? It's just you filing based off your own current income. But then it can get tricky, right? Being married, filing jointly, or being married, filing separately. And that's one of the things that my wife and I go back and forth on as well, because as a business owner, there might be other deductions that I have that she doesn't have. And so is it advantageous for us to file together where she's now inheriting, or I'm inheriting her income, or is it best for us to file separately? And so, again, I always try to have my tax preparer do it both ways just to see what's the best benefit for what we have going on. And the same thing with someone being a widow or not. So I think all of those have different benefits, but some of them are also not as beneficial as well, because it's ironic. Being single, I had a bigger tax deduction than I did, or a tax refund than I did filing married and joint. So, and it was ironic because I was told that if you have kids, if you have a spouse, if you buy a house, you know, those are all the three areas of having a great tax deduction. And I found that we were close to the line of having to owe money than it was for us to actually get a tax refund. So.
Okay, so we've been led a lie that taxes when you're married are a benefit, because your business income would be income for her as well.
Exactly.
What the heck?
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So then, like people with children, I thought you're supposed to get a benefit for that as well. Like what's the difference if you have kids?
Yeah, so you could claim a child on your tax return and receive up to like a $2,000 child tax credit for each child 17 or younger. But then, you know, there's other benefits like a 529 that you could do for education purposes. And that's really state specific. So unfortunately, those states that have no state taxes, there's no true benefit other than being able to set aside money for their kids from that perspective for school.
Oh, okay. So yeah, 529 we've talked about before on this show, which is, it's a tax deductible account that can put away for your kids college. So 529, that's what that is, which you could do as well. And so some states have just pay federal taxes, and then some states have a state income tax as well. I know because my parents live in Florida where there isn't a state income tax and they want to move. And we've been talking about moving to another state that doesn't have state income tax. And so, yeah, so those ones, you're not able to have as much like benefit for having kids.
No, it's just not from, I mean, you could have the same benefit in terms of the child tax deduction, but in terms of like planning for education or something like that, there isn't a benefit from a state tax deduction standpoint because they don't have any state taxes. So you could still plan for their education and complete or contribute to a 529. There just won't be any state tax deductions that you have for doing so.
Wow. My education from Florida wasn't that great anyway. So it's not like they're a thriving educational area. You don't have to comment.
I'm from Tennessee, so.
You're like, I also did not receive a great base education.
It was okay, but we don't have state taxes either, so.
Right, exactly. I was saying to my parents, like, what if you should move to Nevada or, mm-hmm. you know, maybe Delaware. Somewhere else.
Yeah.
Delaware. Yeah. And I didn't even know about that because I was like, I didn't realize that they didn't pay state income tax in Florida till I mm-hmm. like came to California. And then I was like, wait, what? No. But
I saw this coming out my check.
I know. Here's the thing. Taxes are good. They do a lot of good stuff. Everyone pay your taxes. I'm not a Republican. But like, I wish we had more control over where they went. Okay. So I just want to go back a second to investments because I know you pay taxes on your capital gains, right? Like those are included?
You pay taxes on your capital gains once you have distributions come out, but not initially, not if you're still invested into them.
Okay. So just if you take the money out.
Yeah. Once you have distributions come.
And then my final question is, why are donations tax deductible and how do people claim those?
Donations are tax deductible because it's just an act of kindness or charity. And so you're giving on to something that you no longer need. And so it is being a benefit to someone else's needs. Anything like tithing to churches or donating cars, furniture, clothes, all of those are benefits to others, but you're not getting any financial gain out of it. So you're giving it away, which gives you a financial cause to say, hey, I may have paid X amount of money for this item or thing, but I'm now donating it. And in return, this is what I paid. And I could use that as a charitable giving from that perspective.
Interesting.
What was the other question I think you had?
Oh, how do you claim, like, how do you then let them know that it was a charitable donation or how do you claim that?
You just let your tax preparer, sometimes they give you a slip. So depending on who you did the donation with or for, they should give you some type of documentation showing that you did give that item to that institution as a charitable giving. So for example, I know where we've gone and donated items, they've given us a slip to show that we had donated and we put a dollar amount based off of the items that we did donate. And then the same thing mm-hmm. with organizations or nonprofits that you've also given money to, they should also give you some type of tax return document to say that you've given money for those organizations.
What do you do if like you deal mostly in cash? I was just thinking because you talked about tithing and like I just did a fundraiser and a half the money from the fundraiser was in cash. Mm-hmm. So I was just curious what those people are putting down or how do you do that?
Yeah, there should be some type of paper trail to follow with the cash that's being given because otherwise it's really more of a he say, she say. And so you should have something documented to show that cash was received or given based off of whoever's receiving or given at that time in order to know that there was a dollar amount associated with it.
And if your job is in cash, you just kind of have to like, if you put it in a bank account, you have to just sort of keep track of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some sort of documentation, maybe when you deposit the cash, like keep those documents.
Yeah, and you should be able to see it in your bank statements as well as a cash deposit.
Yeah, that's so interesting. It's so individualized and like it's a slightly chaotic system that we've all just agreed to do. Yeah, it's just kind of this interesting societal norm that we've all just decided, like, yeah, this is fine. And certain people have more access to deductions than others. And it's just kind of this, when you like step back and think about tax, like the way that we do, you know, reporting to the IRS, it's really wild. There, like, one final piece of advice that you would give people who are, this is like their first time, like, plotting out what they want to do or taking this seriously?
Yeah, the first thing I would say, start early. You know, as you start collecting your documents that you need to get started for your taxes, meet with someone. A lot of times it's always best to go with someone that is referable or has been referred to by others, because you at least know that they've done this before and they've done pretty decent work. Next, don't wait till the last minute. As you can see, that if you're waiting till the last minute, that does cause additional stress, but also potential penalties that could be provided if you don't file on time. Start early, you know, find a good referable source, and then don't wait till the last minute.
Thank you so much for being here and for answering all these questions. Where can people find you or more if you want to be found, or where like your work is? Yeah.
So I could be found a couple ways. You could reach out to me via email at Rodney, R-O-D-N-E-Y dot Griffin, G-R-I-F-F-I-N at N as in Nancy, M as in Mary .com. So Rodney.Griffin at NM.com. You can also find me on my website, which is RodneyGriffin.NM.com. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Bad with Money with Gabe Shane Dunn is a production of Noted Bisexual, produced by Melissa D. Montz and Diamond M. Print Productions, edited by Diane King, post-production sound by Coco Lorenz, and music by Mike Kaplan, Zach Sherwin, and Jack Dolgen, as sung by Sam Barbera. Thank you. Love you. Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.